Welcome in to the playoff edition of the B Squared podcast. We are glad to have you along. We record tonight on Thursday, October 6th. He is Brian Beto. I'm Jordan Bernfield. And tomorrow, as we record, National League Division Series Game 1, Cubs and San Francisco Giants, Wrigley Field, 8:15 Central start. John Lester and Johnny Cueto are the scheduled starters at the friendly confines. Beto, I want to see how excited you are. Have you been able to think about anything other than this Cubs game over the last two or three days?
My child on occasion, here and there. My six-month-old and the wife, obviously, that comes with the territory as well, who both of those females are, I love very much and are the best two things in my life. But other than that, there's been very minimal thinking outside of Cubs Giants tomorrow night at Wrigley Field, or Cubs anyone tomorrow night at Wrigley Field. Obviously, I had a chance to watch the wild card game a night ago. I was in the camp of rooting for the Mets. I know either team could potentially beat the Cubs, but I was in the root for the Mets camp. Came up short because, of course, as everyone predicted, Connor Gillespie, the former White Sox third baseman, able to hit the three-run homer in the ninth day off Euris Familia,
yeah.
Which we all knew was going to happen, and it was the most Giants game of all time, most Giants postseason game of all time, I'll say that.
Right.
However, I cannot wait. This is what we've been waiting for. We started this podcast right before opening day, and we're hoping that the Cubs would be in the position of having home field in the National League. Do we know they were going to win 103 games? Probably not. We knew they'd potentially be the best team in the league regular season wise, but this is what we've been waiting for, and I just can't wait to get rolling.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting, and I have thought about my lovely fiance and this game, and that's about pretty much it over the last three, 4 days. And it's honestly, I'm watching the wild card game last night, Beto, and I don't know if you had the same feeling, and maybe this is just because the family I come from of positive thinking people, but you know that I have been very positive all season.
That's correct. I can attest to it.
I have felt like I've had a lot of perspective, that I have been level headed, but I've also been positive and feeling good. I went to sleep last night thinking, oh my God, Madison Bumgarner in the National League Division Series scares the you-know-what out of me. And listen, the fact that the Cubs won the division and the Giants won the wild card forces the Giants not to be able to use him twice in all likelihood, though some people are speculating that maybe if it goes game five, he'd come back on 2 days rest and pitch out of the bullpen like he did in game seven of the World Series a few years ago. I don't know if I see that. But, man, that guy is the best postseason pitcher I have ever seen. He is incredible. I mean, you said it. It was the most Giants postseason game last night in the wild card game. Connor Gillespie goes into Giants lore along with luminaries like Travis Ishikawa and Cody Ross and, you know, guys, Marco Scudero, no-name Giants that have hit huge home runs in playoff games going back to their three in the last 6 years. And I think that this is probably the greatest challenge that the Cubs will face, at least in the National League, if they're going to make a run to the World Series. Would you agree with me? I think that the Giants, because of their manager, because of Bumgarner, because of Buster Posey, because of the leadership and the experience that they have, the intangibles, I think that this might be a tougher series than the Dodgers or the Nationals would be.
Yeah, it's interesting. As far as managers are concerned, you mentioned, and there's no empirical evidence to suggest either way or rank managers. I do, in my just personal opinion, feel that the two best managers in baseball are managing at the helm of the series between Madden and Bruce Bochy, and Bochy clearly with more World Series success, having won three in the last six seasons. This is one of the more decorated division series in the history a division series. And we're not saying that because we're Cubs fans or whatnot. This goes back to what, 96 was the first division series, so the 21st year of the division series. And I don't recall any series such as this having as much, you know, fanfare and hype and talent among the group. You have the history versus, you know, the lack of good history and the Cubs. And I wanted kind of the Mets because obviously the pitching rotation for the Mets is banged up and the revenge factor from last year. But this makes it fun. That's the fact that is the Giants who've won three times in the last 6 years. And I think a lot of people shared your sentiment in the whole, well, you know, Bumgarner wins. Oh, my God, we have to face him in game three and potentially in game five and Cueto in game one. And I get it. It makes sense. It's a fair argument. I think it's going to be so much fun. And the Giants are a very, very scary team. Most times in baseball history, past performance does not at all dictate present or future success. The Giants have been an outlier. They've been an aberration. And hopefully the Cubs can change that here.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make this clear. I have felt all along, I mean, I picked the Cubs in April to win the World Series. I'm not backing off that because they've now been presented with their first opponent. I still believe the Cubs are going to win this division series, and I still think that they're going to win the World Series. And, you know, call me a Cub fan, homer, all you want. This is what our podcast is for, I suppose. But, I mean, I really believe that they have the best team, and they proved it during the course of the season with 103 victories. But the Giants, to me, and you put it on Twitter, I thought it was a perfect comment, they really are kind of like the Blackhawks of Major League Baseball. They are a team that if they get into the playoffs, they're a really tough out. And I think that the Cubs are going to have to be obviously firing on all cylinders to beat a team of this caliber. Now, let's point out some of the facts here. The Giants were 87-75. They had a great record at the All-Star break. They were 57-33. They were rocking. They had a better record than the Cubs. They were 30-42 in the second half of the season. They had the worst record of any team that's made the playoffs in the second half of a regular season. They have a really, really bad bullpen. I can't really figure out why, but their bullpen has been terrible. And I look at their starting rotation, and I think that the names are better than the depth really is. I mean, I think certainly Bumgarner and Cueto are excellent, but I think Jeff Samardzija is an okay starter, but he doesn't scare me. And Matt Moore is okay, but he doesn't scare me. So I think that the Cubs would have the overall advantage in depth. But, you know, if we were looking at the Mets, we would say, listen, Syndergaard is incredible, and he matched Bumgarner pitch for pitch for seven innings in the wild card game. But after Syndergaard, there was a real big drop-off. As much as we all love Bart and his 43-year-old fatness and his home runs that he hits in San Diego, and let's be honest, that wouldn't scare me, okay? And I don't think that Seth Lugo or Robert Gsellman is going to scare me either because they're rookies. It's nothing against them. It's just that I feel like the Cubs could rattle young pitchers like that. Obviously, in the postseason, everything's random, and we have to use that caveat with everything that we say. But when you look at the pitching matchup, at least in Game 1, Lester Cueto is a pretty even matchup. I'd give the edge to Lester because he is a known postseason commodity. He is a great pitcher in the playoffs. Over the course of his career, that's one of the reasons the Cubs signed him. I would like him against Cueto, but you know, that could be a game that's 2-2 into the eighth, and one Connor Gillespie pitch could change the entire thing, right? So I think that that's a tough game. You look at game two, obviously I would prefer Kyle Hendricks over Jeff Samardzija, but you could also see that being a game where, you know, Kyle now pitching in a game two role with more expectation on him. You would expect that he's going to pitch better, but you don't know. You would think that he's better than Samardzija, but again, that's kind of a question mark game. And then Arrieta Bumgarner in game three, and it's amazing that we're saying this now because of the year and a half that Arrieta had, but the fact is Bumgarner, there's nobody on the planet you'd want in a playoff game more than Madison Bumgarner. So even though Jake Arrieta, whatever he is now, whatever you decide that he is now, he's still at the disadvantage when compared to Bumgarner. So I feel like, Beto, the way that this sets up, the Cubs need to win games one and two at home, more so now than they would have needed to before, because you don't want to be in a position where you're split 1-1, having to face Bumgarner in San Francisco and to be trailing and facing elimination in San Francisco. And you don't want to be in a position where you could, I mean, you don't want to be in a position where Madison Bumgarner might lose you the series. So I think that there's a little more pressure on the Cubs in these first two games than there would have been otherwise.
There's significantly more pressure on the Cubs than maybe if they face the Mets to sweep the first two games at home. And neither of us are saying that if they don't sweep that they can't win the series. However, it's facts are facts. And you have the best pitcher in the postseason in our lifetimes.
I think he might be the best ever. I really do.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that, right? So, and going in game three against, you know, our Cy Young winner from last year, still an outstanding pitcher from this year in Jake Arrieta. However, there is a ton of pressure on this team. It's not like we saw last year where the Cubs were playing with house money. And it's not like if they were necessarily facing someone like a you said, a Lugo or Gazelman or Bartolo Colon. This is the Giants who've been there before. They've done it before. They played loosely. The Cubs, fortunately, up until this point, they've embraced that. I know it sounds cliche, but they embraced the target, which is what Madden said. They went out. They were the favorite before the season. They're still the favorite here today. But they do need good performances from Lesser and Hendricks. And Cueto's been really good on the road. Samardzija's been really good on the road. Cueto doesn't walk a lot of guys, which hurts because that's one of the Cubs' strengths. I think the Game 2 matchup is so freaking intriguing just because Samardzija was one of the guys that the Cubs, you know, kind of sold off as part of that rebuild, and Hendricks is one of the guys they acquired as part of that rebuild.
And just to be clear, because we're recording this on Thursday, Bochy just said, according to Twitter, that they have not yet decided on the rotation. We're assuming that it's going to be Samardzija in Game 2 and Bumgarner in Game 3, but by the time you listen to this podcast out there in internet radio land, it may have changed, but continue.
Yeah, correct. And we'll see here. And I'm with you. I like the point you made about the name recognition of the Giants. And some of it's earned with a guy like Cueto and Bumgarner. His name recognition is because of his success. But a guy like Samardzija, who's been inconsistent, Matt Moore, who was the number one prospect at baseball at one point, is to me at this point has been nothing more than a nice pitcher that's an innings eater that you can go out there and if he's on can pitch pretty well. The whole series should be outstanding and we could break it down and we probably will on this podcast, but they're very similar in some aspects, these two teams, with the starting rotation depth, with their patience at the plate, but the Cubs, in my opinion, just have a decided advantage in multiple facets of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Cubs certainly have an advantage with their offense. And the one thing about the Giants is they don't strike out a lot. They do take their walks, so they get on base and they make contact. And that's why they're better than the sum of their parts. You know, I think you look at the Giants lineup and you'd say, they don't really have a lot in there. But they do. I think that the Giants' offense is good. It's just that they don't have guys that put up monster numbers other than Buster Posey, who is having an atypically down year for him. Even though he's still having a pretty good year, he's not having a typical Buster Posey type season. So I think when you look at their lineup, they do present challenges there. Their starting rotation depth is solid. Their bullpen is a mess, which is a clear advantage for the Cubs. So I think that when you look at the Cubs overall, you know, this is the Cubs are a much better team on paper. But again, you know, we've said it so many times, and this is like the media phraseology that the playoffs are a crapshoot. I mean, I like to say that it's more random, but that's really what it is. I mean, it is very difficult. Who would have thought that Connor Gillespie was going to hit a 3-run homer in the 9th inning against Jerry's Familia to knock the Mets out of the wild card game and move the Giants into the NLDS? Nobody thought that. I mean, did we think that?
Hawk thought that, right? Hawk Harrelson, he probably got pegged when he was up.
He, you know, Connor Gillespie has TWTW. I've heard.
He does.
So that makes sense. But you know what I'm saying. So I think that when you look ahead to this series, I think one of the good things potentially for the Cubs here is that, because the Giants are a battle-tested team, because the Giants are a World Series champion three times, the Cubs are going to have to lock in right away. And it's not that they wouldn't have before against maybe a team like the Mets. I think whoever they play, you have to be on your game. But I think there's a respect factor with the Giants that any team would get up for. You know you're facing a team that's been the class of baseball for the last 6 years. And so I think that it naturally would raise the level of anyone. Are you nervous, Beto, or concerned at all about 5 days off since the Cubs last played, you know, 3 weeks since the Cubs last had a technically meaningful game because they still hadn't clinched yet? I mean, it's been a while now since the Cubs have played any game of consequence. Does that concern you?
I mean, I guess a little bit. I don't know as much about the games of consequence. I think the 5 days off more than anything else. And there's not a lot of data that we can make that assumption, because this wild card second game where they have the 5 days off has only been going on for a few years. However, though, I mean, that's a lot of time to be off for a baseball player. I mean, they're creatures of habit. You talk to some of the former players and they even say, you know, it's a little bit different when you have that time off, and whether it's the All-Star break or a break like this, or you're injured for a few days, and it's just a little bit different. So I guess from that regard, yes. As far as the whole, like I said, the not playing a meaningful game in a few weeks, it really doesn't. Joe did, in theory, a pretty good job of keeping these guys involved and giving them some time off to rest, but also trying to keep them sharp, giving them some at bats here and there. And we've seen this team at the beginning of the season start out hot without any meaningful at bats. Then we saw them come out of the All-Star break when they were reeling heading into the All-Star break. They had a few days off. They were hot again. So I don't know if that necessarily indicates they're going to be hot heading into the playoffs. However, it just doesn't concern me. I think more or less you mentioned some of the points about the Giants and the lack of striking out. I don't know if that's a good thing as far as, well, the Cubs, you know, they're pitching. They might get into the bullpen earlier, but the Cubs have an historically great defense. So even though the Giants put the ball in play, that's a huge Cubs advantage because how good their defense is. And you mentioned the bullpen of the Giants, and that's scary. But as a result, the Cubs are going to have to work the pitch count deep and get into that bullpen a little bit earlier, which is something the Mets did not do in the wild card game. So there's just so many parts that kind of go into this whole thing.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, though, because to me, that's the difference in this whole series. If the Cubs, because all we talked about all year and in the offseason was how Theo and Jed took this roster, looked at what ailed them in the postseason last year and fixed it. They brought in Hayward, who I know had a bad year, but I mean, at least gets on base a little bit and, you know, can make some contact, even though 80% of his at bats are ground outs to second base, but that's for another discussion.
Or pop outs to third.
And then, you know, they bring in Ben Zobrist, who obviously changed, I think, a lot of the culture with them offensively by, you know, having professional at bats every time up and taking his walks, even when he wasn't hitting, all that stuff. And Chris Bryant's cut his strikeouts down by 20%. So we're talking about a team that strikes out less, takes more walks, makes more contact than it did a year ago. But to me, that's everything. I mean, we can talk about the Giants pitching all we want. The same thing is true, obviously, if the Giants do it to the Cubs. But if the Cubs – how many times have we said this all year? If the Cubs get the starters out of the game in the fifth inning, they have an advantage by getting into the bullpen. It's even bigger if you're the Cubs against this Giants team, because their bullpen is just bad. You can look at any metric you want. I mean, their ERA overall as a bullpen was, I think, 15th in baseball, which isn't terrible. But you look at them over the last 3 months of the season, I mean, it nearly cost them the playoffs when they had the best record in the league in mid-July. So that's how bad it was. And so I feel like that's everything in this series. That's how you make Madison Bumgarner, that's how you neutralize him, right? I mean, if the Cubs could get him out of the game in the sixth inning and then have to take it up with Santiago Casilla, I like my chances a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. And nobody's saying here that the Giants can't, their bullpen can't pitch well for a few days or a few weeks. Just the odds are stacked in the Cubs' favor if they're able to get to that pen between Casilla and even Sergio Romo isn't the pitcher that he was a couple of years ago. Some of the other guys they brought on, I know they acquired Will Smith from the Brewers during the middle of the year. It's just not the same. And you couple that in with the Cubs' patience and power, which is, even though the Giants have the patience, the Cubs' power just dwarfs that of the San Francisco Giants, even though Gillespie hit the home run. They're not a team that's likely to change the outcome of a game with one swing. The Cubs have that ability and to go along with the starting pitching depth, so which rivals the Giants, and a guy like Johnny Cueto, who's had some, I know it's a very, very small sample, but he's had some struggles in the postseason against the Jays as a member of the Royals. And then everyone remembers him dropping the ball in the wild card game in 2013 with the Reds against the right. Pirates. The next pitch, Russell Martin hits the home run. I don't know if that actually will carry over at all. It's just, I don't know. Like, I think people are, because it's the Giants and because of how good that rotation is, people are scared, and I get it. Anything can happen in a best of five series. I think the Cubs are in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Cubs are in great shape by every way you look at it. The only way that they're not in great shape is that we've been waiting for this for so long that every fan is going to rationalize 5,000 different ways in which they might lose, right? I mean, that's but that, to me, I thought last year, and I was fortunate enough to go to a number of the home games in last year's playoffs, I thought that the fans were great. They were into it. They were loud. They were excited. It was not like a nervous, tense,
for sure,
Wrigley crowd like it was in 07 and 08 when they were waiting for the other shoe to drop. I thought that the fans were great. I am a little bit curious, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily how I feel, but I feel like because last year there weren't expectations, it was like a gravy train. You know, it was like, oh my God, they're in the playoffs. They weren't supposed to be here. This is amazing. Look at this young team. Nobody was really that nervous. This year, it's all about winning the World Series. I wonder if the fan base will revert a little bit to like that 2008 team was when, you know, people, and looking back on that 2008 team, the idea that they were going to win the World Series is kind of far-fetched, but that's for another discussion. The idea that, like, if John Lester were to give up a solo homer in the second inning, that it would take the wind out of the crowd. You know what I mean? I hope that's not the case. And I feel like with the team that the Cubs fielded this year, there's no reason not to believe, unless it's, you know, like the Blue Jays Rangers debacle today, and unless it's a game like that, that the Cubs should feel like they can get back into it and win it. But I think that the crowd does make a difference in these postseason games. I think that it pumps up the home team, and the Cubs need to make Wrigley Field their advantage because they have home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they'll be okay. I think about that too. I was at game one in 2008 with the Loney Grand Slam.
Right. The series was over at that moment.
It felt like a walk-off home run in game five of that series, and it was so fast, and maybe that was not fair. That's how it felt in the stadium. D-Row hits the home run to put him up 2-0. Loney hits the grand slam in the fifth off Dempster, who walked, I believe, 7 in that game. And that was you said that, you know, maybe far-fetched for the Cubs to win the World Series. The bottom line is they won 97 games, and they had a pretty high run differential, and they were a darn good team.
But their best starter was Ryan Dempster.
Yeah, it's true. This team is much better. And I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case. I get it. There is a lot of anxiety because last year, like we keep saying, they were playing with house money. Everything was a bonus. We weren't supposed to be there yet. Now they're supposed to be there. So I just don't see a scenario where if we go down two runs in the middle innings that the world's going to end, just with how talented this group is. So I mean, we'll see. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be so fantastic. And again, it's a scenario where you just kind of got to go enjoy it because the Cubs are the best team in baseball. Can they lose? Certainly. Is it likely they lose? No, in my opinion. So Lester, Cueto, you know, game one tomorrow night, we've broken it down. This is what we've been waiting for all year. And we have to go through a team that's won three times in the last six seasons. It's been kind of like the Blackhawks of Major League Baseball, but there's no reason to think that anything's going to change, that the Cubs won't move on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the playoffs by design, no one has an advantage to win, right? I mean, you have a 1-in-8 chance really at this point. And so no one is truly in the best, you know, no one's really got any better chance than another team, because once
NBA
you get to the playoffs,
Warriors versus Cavs is a guarantee. You know what I mean?
It's so random, and we know that it can be, you know, that the best team doesn't usually win. But
correct.
You know what I keep telling friends of mine, family members that may or may not be very negative about the Cubs, is that you can look at all the ways they can lose, but you got to enjoy what they've been. I mean, listen, if they lose, it's going to rip our hearts out and we're going to all be upset and we're all going to be furious that they didn't win. But until that happens, if it does, you got to enjoy what they've been and believe that they can win. And there's no reason not to believe this team. And this team truly has everything it needs to win the World Series.
Yeah, and you can't have that mentality like they're going to find a way to lose. It's more likely, and you have to admit this to yourself, it's more likely that they don't win the World Series than it is they do win the World Series. And it's not because they're not good enough. It's just because if we keep harping on the randomness of the postseason and the small sample, you got to enjoy it. It's so much fun. This is the team that's best equipped in our lifetimes, probably our dad's lifetimes, to win the World Series. We'll see what happens. And it's just so fun because 2 years ago we were sitting there enjoying the postseason, thinking about it. I can't wait till we have a chance to potentially be in this. So we're not only are we in this, we're the odds-on favorite to do it, and it happened in such a short time frame. And what they've done has been unbelievable. Since the last time we've had the podcast, they've extended Theo, Jed, and Jason McLeod, and
right.
I just can't get over how quickly in a 4 or 5 year span they've gone from people genuinely being indifferent about the organization to the team that everyone wants to be. And there's no reason if they fall behind in a 4-inning stretch, without the success that they've had in the last 4 years, if they fall behind in a 4-inning stretch to freak out and say, oh, they're going to blow it. They're not going to do it. It's just unbelievable to me. And I can't wait. Like I can't think about anything else. Like I said, besides the child and the wife about getting ready for tomorrow night.
Right. It should be great. I am certainly excited. I know you're excited. I think everyone's excited in Chicago. I've seen blue everywhere around the city. I mean, W flags everywhere. And it's just, and this is what it's about. I mean, this is, you know, you watch baseball all season. You watch every day for 6 months because you want to hopefully have a team that can be playing at this time of year. And the fact that they're there is wonderful and it's exciting. And I can't wait to get things going tomorrow night at 8:15 as we record again on Thursday the 6th. So, Beto, before we get out of here, we need your prediction for this series with the San Francisco Gigantes.
So here's my prediction, and I'm gonna ready for this. I'm gonna definitely be a horn tutor right now. Okay. So, and the reason why I'm doing it is not necessarily to brag, but it's to make you feel safe and secure about this prediction. So for the first time, I believe in my lifetime, I accurately predicted all 6 division winners this
year.
Wow. So
that's a great job.
The only team I missed in the playoffs was the Houston Astros over the Baltimore Orioles. But I got both NL wildcard teams correct. I had the division winners in both the AL and the NL, which, again, yes, I'm happy about it. It's not even a humble brag. It's a full-on brag. I'm not doing it for that purpose. I'm doing it
Nostrabito.
To let you know that these predictions hold some water. And I'm going to say that, and I'm not saying this, I predict to win every game. I think the Cubs, and we'll see what happens, I think they sweep the San Francisco Giants in 3 games. Arrieta goes into San Francisco after the Cubs win Game 1 and 2 and beats Madison Bumgarner, and the Cubs go to the NLCS.
Oh, I hope you're right. That would be so great. That would be so less stressful than what I would predict.
So much less. All my predictions are based on the amount of stress I'm going to have to endure.
I mean, listen, every prediction you made during the season was that the Cubs were going to win every single game. And
every day I'm doing it again.
You got 103 of those correct. So you did.
I did.
You did get more of them right than you didn't. So that's good. But I would say I picked the Cubs in 5. So I have to stay with that prediction. I don't know if it's necessarily going to go 5, but the reason that I picked it in 5 is because I feel like you have to respect the Giants. You have to respect that this is a good team, that they've got a great history, that they've been to the top of the mountain and won each of their last 11 playoff rounds. They haven't lost a playoff round since the NLDS in 2003. So And granted, they didn't make the playoffs all those years, but the point
is,
right,
you were in high school.
Right. So the point is that, I mean, they have had a remarkable run of success. I still think the Cubs are going to win the series, and I hope that your prediction is right, because if they win in three, that would just be, then I would be able to sleep next week. It would be just amazing. Unbelievable.
It's going to be a great week next week if we get a sweep. We're just going to relax, chill out, get ready for the Nats or the Dodgers. And for record purposes, I think the Dodgers are going to win that series. But if they're able to, I mean, either way, if somebody said, oh, they're going to win in five, I'll take the stress to get to the next round. I just think they're a much better team. And I think I think they're going to get there. And I think they're going to do it in three games.
I hope you're right. Beto, how do people find our podcast on Facebook?
They can do it on Facebook by searching the B Squared Show. Your source for all Cubs talk all the time. We'll post it there. I think I'm going to share it to my personal account as well. They want to get as much Cubs info as they can right
now.
Hype videos. They're checking on Twitter constantly. They're flying the W. They're hashtagging it all. I'm going to go ahead and post it on my personal account as well. Try to get friends and family in, getting even more hyped for game one tomorrow night.
Yes, and you can follow us on Twitter. He's at Brian Beto. If you want his picks, you should find them. I think that he just put his predictions up on Twitter. So you are Nostra Beto.
I should have parlayed all those on Vegas, the division winners. I'd be rich right now. I wouldn't have to work tomorrow if I would have parlayed all six of those division winners.
I just hope you're right on your prediction for Cubs in three. That would be perfect. my Twitter is at Jordan Bernfield because I'm also as creative as you and use just my name for my Twitter account. You can find our podcast on iTunes as well as at Podomatic, where we post it right after the show is recorded. So, Beto, any ritual that you do during a series to try to keep yourself in a good frame of mind, or you just let it ride?
Well, since we've had so much success in postseason series during my lifetime, I just totally made that up. I have nothing. I'm open to trying something new. The last time the Cubs played the Giants in the playoffs, I was 4 years old. So I was born I was raised.
They played him in the one game playoff in 98.
Oh, that's true. That wasn't the postseason though, right? That's still technically the wild card.
In the game 163.
That's Gary Gaetti. Yes. That was fantastic.
Slapless
game.
Helmet.
And Joe Carter's pop out to Mark Grace at first base, which was one of the best. That was the first time I could legitimately say as a Cub fan. Yeah, I was four when they made it in 89, but when I followed them when they made the playoffs. So 98 was a fun, magical year, regardless of getting swept by the Braves. So there's that. In 89, you had Will Clark, who I was raised to hate by my parents and people, and my brother that was older than me just because of how good Will Clark was. Sean Dunson was my favorite Cub growing up, is now a coach for the Giants and was on that 89 Cubs
team. That is
game,
true.
Which is fun.
Your guy, Shawan.
Shawan, but you know what? I'm done with Shawan. I'm going to denounce all number 12 jerseys.
Wow.
Including my Dusty Baker armbands that I have that say 12 on them too. Because I'm done. Don't care, Shawan. Don't care, as Jay Cutler would say. So I'm ready, and I think that I'm gonna denouncing all those Cubs. But it just reminds me. It brings me back to being so little as a kid, and then the '98 game and all that. So no rituals for me during the postseason.
Yeah, I used to have a ritual. I had a maraca that I got at a bar mitzvah when I was 13.
Love it.
And I had it in the 03 playoffs, and I would shake it at the games, and people would call me Rattle Guy because I was always shaking it in big moments. And then when they lost in game 7, I smashed said maraca, so it no longer exists.
Did you really?
Yes. And I was an angry 18-year-old high school senior. So, rest in peace, maraca.
Fantastic. What a ritual. That's like a ceremony.
If only the maraca had been smashed in the Twitter era, it may have rivaled the Harambe RIP tweets.
Oh, my God. We'd have T-shirts. We'd be selling T-shirts right now.
Yes. It would be probably pictures of Harambe holding my maraca. But unfortunately, it is not there. So I don't have a current ritual. I am just going to sweat it out like the rest of us, and hopefully they win.
My ritual is drinking, and the level of it will depend on the score of the game.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, indeed. So, Beto, I hope the next time we speak, it is after the Cubs have advanced to the NLCS.
Yeah, I agree. Otherwise, I'll see you in 6 months, buddy.
All right. He's Brian Beto. I'm Jordan Bernfield. We'll talk to you, hopefully, for the next round of the B Squared Podcast. Thanks for listening.